Well, we'd appreciate your prayers this morning. Thank the Lord for the participation, the songs, and we want the Lord to bless us today. I have been inspired. We studied last week some about the temple and the beautiful adornment of the temple, how awesome it was, and how striking and how awe-inspiring it was when people came to the temple and they saw that place that was built that took the 180,000 men 7 years, and all that it had, and the gold all over it, and all of those things. It was a beautiful place, wasn't it? It was something that David said to his son. He said he wanted it to be exceeding magnificent, so that all in all lands that they would know of this temple. I don't remember exactly how he said that, but that's the word he used, the magnificent or magnificence. And so I'm thinking this morning about, you know, the scriptures tell us, and we brought this out last week, that our body is the temple of God, isn't it? It's very clear in the scriptures that our body's the temple of God, and, you know, we're very different than that temple was. And that temple was magnificent in people's eyes. But, you know, I think the Lord wants to put within us a beauty that glorifies the Lord. And, you know, we have this body that we have, this life that we have, it is given to us. It is given to us. And we really are the ones that make the decisions for this body, aren't we? God doesn't force himself upon us. But you know, this morning, oh, how the Lord wants us to beautify this temple. And what's that look like this morning? I really want to concentrate on that. There's a song that came to me, and it's called A Beautiful Life. I want us to listen to the verses of this song, because we all have a big part to play in how our life, what kind of life we have. Time and chance happens to everybody. But I want to tell you, there's some things that are beyond time and chance, and there are some things that God wants to put within our life that's valuable, that time and chance cannot take away. Problems and griefs and troubles and trials cannot take those things away from us. They cannot take them. They are things that are eternal, things that God wants to put in our life, ways that He wants us to beautify our temple, our body, our spiritual life in such a way that it really glorifies God. The song says this, and I have so been, ever since I was young, this song has been a real inspiration to me. It says, before I read this song, let's remember, this is not rocket science. We're talking about the basic elements of a life. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. And the refrain says, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The second verse says, to be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. Now, you know, we all have something to do with our life, don't we? We can spend our life on ourselves. We can spend our life, what's given to us, we can spend on ourselves all of our life if we want to. God gives that choice to us. We can't regulate what comes from that, but we can regulate what we give of our life. And so we can help some troubled soul. 3 says the only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day, I'll lend a helping hand. Verse 4 says, I'll help someone in time of need and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick and poor and weak and words of kindness to them speak. Verse 5, while going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. That doesn't sound like a life of self, does it? Sounds like something that somebody's thinking about somebody besides themselves. It kind of sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? That's what he did, didn't he? He spent his life, he spent his ministerial years, he spent just going about doing good, healing people that were oppressed, helping people. That was his desire. That was what he was here for. He said he didn't have a pillow to lay his head on. But, you know, he did more to affect this world than any other man has ever done, didn't he? If you want to call him man, though he was God in the flesh. I want us to think this morning about our life and think about the temple of God. Now, in the Old Testament times, the temple was a building. It was where people went. That was where they went to find God. And so that's where God dwelled. He was inside that, wasn't he? He made a dwelling place in there called the Holiest of Holies where people could not go. The high priest went once a year. And, you know, it was a frightful thing in a sense to come into the presence of God. And yet the temple today, the Lord has chosen to dwell in pure hearts. That's what he has chosen to do. And the Lord would like us to be a temple of God that glorifies him, that lifts him up. That's not a life about self. The temple of God is alive. We can't buy the stuff we need to adorn God's temple. We don't have enough money for it. We don't have enough time to work for it. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can give ourselves to the Lord and to his cause. And we can see the needs of people and do our best. The song said, and so I'll do the best I can. I'll help someone in time of need. And it goes on, while going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. There is a light that God wants to put within us. There is a spirit that he wants to put within us that helps other people. The scriptures in Matthew 5 and 14, I want to read that, part of the Sermon on the Mount here. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know that the Lord wants to put within us the kind of spirit and works and deeds that glorifies the name of the Father this morning? To glorify means to lift up. You know, the Lord wants us to lift up his name. When his name is lifted up, and people see that, and they long for that same thing. Do you know that we have the light of heaven within us? That same thing that Jesus brought, he wants to put in our hearts and in our soul and in our spirit. In a world that is filled with strife and anger, it's filled with that right now. You know, we We know what's going on. We know a lot of what's going on, don't we? We're told of those things. But folks, we want to have a spirit that's at peace. Now, do we want to, you know, we may need to say some things to one another, but folks, let's have a spirit that's at peace. Let's have a spirit that promotes and lifts up the name of the Lord and brings glory to God this morning. You know, the scripture says, on down in the sixth chapter, it says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Do you know there is a lot of souls this morning that the light that is in them is darkness. The thing that shines out from their life is darkness. It's hatred, it's strife, it's anger, it's resentment, it's all of those things. And it's full, and it's intense, and it's all around us, isn't it? And so the Lord has a light that he wants to put in our lives. And folks, we can follow after whatever we want to. God gives us that privilege. We can be a person that's very selfish. We can be all about my life and my thoughts and what I want to do. Or folks, we can lift up our eyes to the Lord and be all about what he wants us to be. Lord, would you teach me your way? Lord, would you show me your paths? Lord, give me a greater burden to help other people. Lord, help me to have your heart. You know, I think that's something that glorifies God. I'm not talking about in our own works we just go about and I'm talking about letting God work in our life. The Lord wants it to be so. And this morning, let's beautify the temple. I know many of us here are saved. We know the Lord. You know what? Let's just let the Lord beautify the temple. Let's let him shine his light in us until it is a light to the world around us. You know, I believe that when God changes us from a life that's all about self, because that's what the world is about. That's what it says when it talks about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. All of that is about self, isn't it? The whole thing. But when God truly changes us from that life and it becomes about the will of God and about letting God shine and about finding his spirit in the middle of things, do you know that's, I believe, becomes very attractive to people. People are looking for something like that, aren't they? Oh, this morning, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. We read this scripture last week. I want to read it again. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Do you know that we are bought with a price? When we are saved and God forgives us, it is with a price. It was with the blood of Jesus that was bought. And he says, therefore ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, I just want to remember what we said a minute ago. To glorify means to lift up. It means, if you look it up in Strong's, it to render or esteem glorious. You know, the Lord wants us to glorify him. It's the light of the world. Let's open our hearts a little wider. Lord, I really want you to be glorified in this life. In the middle of all that life gives us, I want us to look at a couple of things that is mentioned here. You know, when it says glorify God in your body and in your spirit, I want us to take note of what it just said. In your body and in your spirit. I've heard a lot of people say it doesn't matter. This body doesn't matter. But this body does matter. And the Lord tells us to glorify God in our body. Do you know that when we put on, that's why. And folks, I want us to understand, I feel like I've been a little dilatory in teaching some things enough. Not that we haven't taught, but, you know, this morning the Lord wants us to glorify Him in our body and in our spirit. Do you know when we put on the things of this life? Let's think about it. Let's think about the billionaires of today. Okay, now I'm not going to class all of them, but let's say most of them, I think we could easily say. They have a lot about themselves, don't they? There's a lot of glory there. And I don't think it makes us look to glorify God in those things. Do you know that if God gives somebody a billion, that's great. But folks, I want us to think about putting on the things of God. When we put on the things of the world, the flash of the world, the gold of the world, the pearls of the world, when we put on the life of the world, wouldn't you say that kind of takes away from the humble message of Christ? I just want us to think about those things. Because I know some of the young people here probably don't even understand some of why we teach what we do. Folks, we teach it because it's Bible. Because the Lord wants us to glorify Him, not ourselves. And when we begin to glorify ourselves, whether it be with what we put on our body, whether it be with what we, how we live and trying to gather whatever esteem, fame, whatever we want to gather from others, the world does that all the time, don't they? Wouldn't that take away from the beauty of the Lord? Where He tells us to be humble people. He tells us to be servants. He tells us to humble ourselves. He tells us to be like a little child. What a contrast it is. It's a great contrast. And so, folks, we might wrangle about a scripture or two. But when you look at the whole picture, you realize that God has something so much better. And He wants us to beautify the temple with the graces of God. He wants us to seek for that. You know, it's hard sometimes to humble ourselves. But do you know that when we humble ourselves, generally God is glorified? Do you know that when people look for something they can anchor their soul on and anchor their life on, do you know that comes, that light that shines from the gospel of who Jesus was, shining clear down to us and through us this morning? Those things are a great contrast to the lifting up of the flesh. It says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your, glorify God. When we glorify or lift up ourselves, we take away from the message of God this morning. The Lord help us. When we become stiff in our own thoughts, unwilling to, when we become worldly or whatever, all those things, folks, we take away from the message of the Lord. And so, God help us today. It's more than a feeling to glorify God. It's more than to say, oh, I praise the Lord. I'll tell you what it really is. It's the pure gold within our heart. It's the pure gold of the love, of the kindness, of the good deeds, of the way that we live. I will tell you, it's far more than just what we would say. And so this morning, I hope we can just get deep in our hearts, rooted in this thing. That, Lord, I want to beautify the temple with the graces of God and not with the things of this life. It takes away. In Romans 13:13, it says, let us walk honestly as in the day. Now listen to some of the things that the Lord wants us to put into our life and how glorifying it is, how it lifts up the Lord. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When we put the fulfillment of the flesh as the driving force of our life, it becomes a lust. It becomes more than just a desire. We desire to eat, don't we? We desire to enjoy pleasures, don't we? All of those things. There's many things we enjoy. When it becomes a driving force in our life that's too great, it becomes a lust. That's what it becomes. When our life is outfitted with those things, do you know what we're glorifying? The flesh. And do you know that when we put aside the lust of the flesh, when we put aside the pride of life, and we humble ourselves and become servants to the Lord, you know who that glorifies? The Lord. You know who it glorifies when you show up? And I see different ones. I get a different viewpoint than some of y'all get because I get around to the different places and I see all the different ones that's involved in ministering to people. It's a beautiful picture. You'd be surprised how many of these folks sitting here show up when you're in need to help in one way or another. It's the way it is. It's a beautiful picture this morning. Oh, how the Lord wants us to put Him on in our spirit, in our attitudes. The Scripture started here with, let us walk honestly as in the day. Have you ever been on a job site when there wasn't anybody willing to be honest but yourself? You ever had to face that? Do you know the pressure is pretty great at those times, isn't it? And so, you know, well, this is going to cause a lot of trouble. This is going to be a big problem if somebody really tells the truth here. Well, folks, that's why when I went to a new company, different times I would tell them, I won't lie to you and I won't lie for you. So don't ever put me in a position that if I don't lie for you, it's going to cause you trouble because I won't lie for you. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be honest in our behaviors, doesn't He? Doesn't that provide something that's a light to other people? I'll tell you what'll happen when they get down. You'll be the one they call for prayer. Hey, I need prayer. You know, they're not calling all the others that was telling the lies this morning. You know, this morning, let's look at our temple. Oh, Lord, beautify the temple. That's what we wrote on the board, if you can't see it. Beautify the temple. Beautify it with the graces of God. Beautify it with honesty. Beautify it with dependability. Beautify it with the graces and the things that we've been talking about. With caring about somebody else. You know, not everybody cares about somebody else. But the Lord wants us to care, doesn't He? And so He tells us here, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put Him on in our spirit and our attitudes and our habits and our desires and on our body and in our spirit. Let's glorify the Lord. Let's glorify the Lord. You ever noticed? I always cringe when I see a new youth out in the world, and all of a sudden they become famous. I just want to cry for them. I think that poor young lady, that poor young man, you know, as soon as they puff him up in pride, what's the Scripture say about pride? It goes before destruction. It goes before a fall, doesn't it? Pride does. That's why, folks, we don't want to allow it for ourselves, and we don't want to give it for somebody else. Pride goes before a fall. But when we glorify God in our life is given to other people and trying to make things right for people, trying to help people up a step, wrangling and working with. You know what? The Lord wants us to help those people out, don't they? People don't even know which direction they're going. They don't understand. They don't have any light in their life because they've left the Scriptures. They've left the Spirit of God. Folks, you want to have peace, then eschew evil and those things. And seek the Lord. And you'll find the Lord has more for you than you ever dreamed He had. In Titus 2, I know we said some of these things last week, but we were moving so fast. I want to come back, and I want to go over a little bit here. I think it's so that important, and I felt burdened for it. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You know, Paul told Titus here, you speak these things, exhort them with all authority. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to redeem unto himself us from all iniquity. We all know that, don't we? But you know, and then it goes on to say, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. I love this word peculiar. You know what it means? Look it up in the Greek. It means beyond being usual. That is special. one's own. That's what it means. It doesn't mean weird. It doesn't mean different in the way of weird. But it does mean different. It means special. And it means beyond being usual. You know, the Lord wants to purify unto himself a people that is peculiar. They have different ideas of life than the world has. Their very focus and center is different than the world has. That's what the Lord has for us today. It's a beautiful picture. It'll serve us well in life. And it goes on to say, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what zealous means? Most eagerly desirous of, burning with zeal, Thayer says. You know, a zealot. That's what it says of that word that's used, zealous of good works. You know, that's what the people of God are. You know, that's what he wants his temple adorned with. It comes from within. Because he didn't put any adornment on us on the outside, he told us not to do that. But he wants to adorn our lives. He wants us to be a special people that's zealous of good works, redeemed from all iniquity. Yes, we say it boldly and plainly, redeemed from all iniquity. Yes, we believe that, don't we? That's what the Lord wants to give his people. Oh, Lord, lift up our hearts today that we might long for the blessing of the Lord to this world, that we might long for your Spirit to work through us, that the world might see something so different this morning. In Titus 2, let's see, and 9, looking up a little bit, he says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. What's that got to do with Christianity? Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. What does that have to do with Christianity? Has a whole lot to do with our spirit, doesn't it? Has a whole lot to do with what the world perceives of God. Because when they see something like that, that's beyond the usual, isn't it? That's beyond the usual. Somebody they can trust, somebody that's truly honest, somebody that's truly, that they know when they say it, it's the way it is. They said the best they know. They said the truth as far as they know it. Do you know that ought to be said of us, hadn't it? And if it's not, we ought to be backtracking. The Lord help us today. Goes on to say, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So, see, he's talking about adorning. You know, we can adorn ourselves. We can adorn all we want, can't we? We have that privilege. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to adorn our lives in such a way that it is a strong pull to the Lord. The Lord wants us to adorn our lives. It says not purloining. You know, purloining, not only stealing, not embezzling. People that hire the saints, I want to tell you, I used to work around a lot abroad, and people sometimes would ask me, where do you find people like that? Well, you know, we found them among the saints, a whole lot of them. Honest people, hardworking. They weren't out spending our time at break time doing something they shouldn't have been doing anyway. You know, but not purloining. The very word servant, because this is speaking to servants here, the very word servant in this society, from what I've read, was synonymous with thief. They kind of used it back and forth, sometimes in place of thief, because that's what so many of the heathens did. But you know, isn't it beyond usual when somebody's just truly, fully honest? Such a pleasure to me when I see somebody come back and let me know this is the way it really was. That's a pleasure, isn't it? You know, somebody's got something that they're answering to. You know, fidelity, it says, that word fidelity means faithfulness, care, careful and exact observance of duty or performance of obligations. Now listen to this, because you're going to have to listen closely to understand it. I had to read it a few times and soak it up. This is Webster's there. The best security for the fidelity or faithfulness of man is to make interest coincide with duty. You know what? That's what I want to do this morning. Whet our interest. Whet our desires. So that the duties that we have are not something that we're trying to press and push and this is what you got to do. Folks, when our interest is the same as our duty, Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to be a servant to other people. Have you ever thought about that aspect of life? I want to be a servant to other people. I want to encourage us this morning. It is a beautiful thing. We read the song, A Beautiful Life. I'd love to sing that right after service, if somebody can get it. You know, it's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful thing. It's something that elevates our mind off of ourself and puts it on others where we can bless them. And I want to tell you something. That usually comes back to us. After a while, it's not always easy. It doesn't always happen soon. And many times we are disappointed. But I want to tell you something. If you become a servant to the Lord and to people, you will find in your life that duty becomes pretty small as a duty and pretty large as a desire this morning. So rather than, he says, exhort servants and all of that, oh, the Lord help us this morning. 1 Peter 3 and 4 tells us, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. He just told them, he said, don't wear the gold and all that stuff. He said, even the ornament, if you're going to wear something, wear a meek and a quiet spirit. He says, which is in the sight of God of great price. What a beautiful thing that is. In the sight of God, it's of great price. And so instead of looking at, oh, I have to be meek here, I need to settle down, maybe look at it as the goal, as a goal for us. Lord, I want to be meek. I want to glorify you. I want to lift you up. I would like for people to see the Lord, so that in their day of visitation, they might come asking. They might come asking for prayer. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Do you know it's not corruptible? The hidden man of the heart. The things we take into our heart, the devil cannot destroy. Did you know that? The devil cannot destroy it. He cannot. Because God is the keeper of those things in our souls this morning. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. What a contrast. What a contrast Peter draws here. How opposite the one is to the other, the flesh to the spirit. What opposite results come from that? Oh, the Lord wants to beautify the meek with salvation, doesn't he, this morning? How cheap the adorning of the flesh. We've all seen plenty of people in the world, haven't we? We've seen them here and there in all their greatness, in all their grandness. And isn't that cheap compared to the real thing? Above usual, beyond usual this morning. I want to read to you, I got a hold of these things, and I don't want to say too much about myself, but folks, I want to tell you something. When I was young, I never thought of these kind of things. My life was about what I wanted it to be. And then others began to make me aware, and I began to behold a life that was totally different than given to self. And it looked so attractive to me. And I took after that, and I decided I want my life to be that way. I want to encourage some of the young people today to decide, I want my life to be adorned with that kind of beauty. I want to be given to the work of God. I want no more. I don't ever want to be higher than a servant. I don't ever want to rise higher than somebody says brother. That's as high as I want to go. Because, folks, there's something more beautiful than titles and things and all the stuff this world can offer us this morning. Oh, let it be that our hearts would grow warm, that zeal would be formed in our hearts and lives, that we would become a kind of person that our life would be about the will of God and other people. Now, does that mean we don't take care of our own? That doesn't mean that at all. I feel like I've took pretty good care of my family, folks, but we can. There is no higher aspiration, in my opinion, than to seek after the will of God and helping other people. You wouldn't believe how many times you see light come in the eyes of somebody that's really needy of help. You wouldn't believe how many opportunities you get if you continue a life like that. There was a woman. Now, there was at Joppa, Acts 9 and 36, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. I want us to notice something here. This is what the Scripture says about it. Do you know this made the Scriptures? Do you know this made the Bible? Why did this get put in the Bible? It made it. It was that important to the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and shewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. What a picture is that? Hasn't this, I hope this has already challenged your life many times over. It sure has me. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Do you know this morning, all those alms deeds she did, all those coats she made, all those things she did for other people, you know that came back to bless her? It came back to bless the Lord. You know how I know? Because we're still reading about it. Thousands of years later, and we're still reading about it. And people are still being challenged and blessed that there are these kind of people in the world. This kind of beyond usual, isn't it? That's what the Lord wants us to put on in our lives. A few more scriptures here. You know the woman that, this is Matthew 26, the woman that brought the ointment and anointed Jesus, I believe his feet or however it was. You know, some said, verse 9, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. And then he went on to say, the poor you have always with you. But verse 12, he said, she did it for my burial. You know, this woman didn't know what she was doing. But she poured out that very costly, it says. And if you read the commentaries, it makes it out as very costly. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Do you know this morning, God took notice of this thing, didn't he? You know, God took notice of this. It's in the scriptures, just like the last one was that we read about. With Tabitha, with Dorcas. God took notice of this. This was precious in his sight because she gave from her heart. So this morning, I want to encourage us, folks, let's enlarge our hearts today. There's something greater than this life. There's something more than me. Something more than you. And if you want peace and you want to be satisfied and you want the good things of life, I want to tell you, it's not without cost, it's not without sacrifice, but it's so well worth the cost of it. And I want to encourage us this morning that we put on, I want to read on down there. No, I want to read to one other place. In Colossians 3 and 8, it says, but now ye also put off all these. Listen to this. Put off some things that take away. Put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't waste the gospel with that kind of thing. Don't put that on the gospel. If we do those kind of things, then don't tell people we're Christians. Tell them, I'm a man in need. I want you to, I'm a man in need. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. See, we don't just put off the things of gold or whatever. We put off the things that detract from the glory of God. We put off the things of the flesh. And he says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. You've put on something totally new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, who created us? After the image of Jesus Christ, wouldn't you say? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. He's not prejudiced, is he? Circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. That's kind of beyond usual, isn't it? That's beyond usual, I would say. So the Lord help us today to not be like the world, but to have a heart that's very different. Folks, we'll never go very far if our life is all about us. We just won't. We just won't. Even if we think we do, we won't. Our life has to be as Jesus was. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That was his meat. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he loved to do. Let's open our hearts and our eyes and our understandings. Lord, beautify your temple. And help me not to be a selfish person. Help me not to be full of self. Help me not to beautify the outside and be so devoid on the inside. The Lord help us today to draw close to Him, and you pray for us too. Amen.